Hello again, and welcome to another episode of BitNote with David Collins. We'll be talking about video game and, well, actually we'll be talking about one specific video game this show, Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Hope you enjoy. Hello again. Sorry if you missed me over St. Paddy's Day. While I was away, a small little event happened. It was the 30th anniversary of the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy video game. And to celebrate, BBC released a slightly new and updated version, similar to what they did for the 20th anniversary. So, without further introduction, I'll be doing another Let's Play of a text adventure video game, as I've done before. In this case, it will be, of course, Infocom's Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Now, before I begin, I think I need some music to kick things off. Of course, there's really only one track that people think of most and first and foremost when Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, The Journey of the Sorcerer. This was originally, of course, made by the Eagles, but this is a version by Joby Talbot, and it was made largely for the 2005 movie. So have a listen, and we'll get right into the game afterwards. So, that was a great track. It was originally released in 1975 and was recorded by the Eagles. And essentially, the full version is 6 minutes long, but kind of don't have that amount of time if I'm going to do a good playthrough. So just to do a quick summary in case you haven't heard, Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy is a huge series, a sci-fi comedy by Douglas Adams. It started with a radio show in the late 70s and has been adapted into so many formats. There's been a TV series, a movie that was released recently, a series of books. The books is actually a trilogy, although unlike most trilogy, it consists of five parts. And actually, there was a recent sixth version, not made by Douglas Adams, but by our very own Owen Colfer, who of course is also famous for the Artemis Fowl series. So there's that. And the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy has also been incorporated into a bunch of towels. So no matter which version you're talking about, it always seems to focus on Arthur Dent and his alien friend Ford, and it turns out Earth gets demolished and they're suddenly, ooh, I'm kind of spoiling things, but it's kind of how it does, and they end up going on a zany sort of adventure across the universe. But don't worry, I'm not going to be like reading it or playing things from the TV series. I'm just going to be diving in playing the actual 1984 text adventure that was originally developed by Infocom. Now, just to give a quick bit of background, Infocom have made a lot of really classic text adventures. I played, of course, Zork earlier on. That was pretty famous. And they've got quite a bit of a history, but let's dive right in. So, starting up Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy Classic using a bit of software called FROTS, which is great for playing these classic games, and here it goes. The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, Infocom Interactive Fiction, a science fiction story, copyright 1984 by Infocom Incorporated, all rights reserved, release 59, serial number, and I'm not going to actually read out the whole serial number. You wake up. The room is spinning very gently around your head, or at least it would be if you could see it, which you can't. It is pitch black. Okay, so look. That's my command I enter in, and it is pitch black. Okay, so turn on light. Turn on light. Good start to the day. Pity it's going to be the worst one of your life. The light is now on. Bedroom. in the bed. The bedroom is a mess. It is a small bedroom with a faded carpet and old wallpaper. There is a wash basin, a chair with a tatty dressing gown slung over it, a window with the curtains drawn. Near the exit leading south, there's a phone. There is a flathead screwdriver here outside the bed, and there is a toothbrush here outside the bed. So, look under carpet. That's not important. Leave it alone. Okay, so nothing important about the carpet. Well, take all. Telephone. You can't reach it from the bed. The effort almost kills you. Flathead screwdriver. You can't reach it from the bed. The effort almost kills you. And same with the toothbrush in the ground. So, okay. Get out of bed. Very difficult, but you manage it. The room is still spinning. It dips and sways a little. Okay, so now I'll take all. Take it all. Telephone. It slips through your fumbling fingers and hits the carpet with a nerve-shattering bang. Flathead screwdriver. You know, pick it up. You're certainly picking the tough tasks. The floor acts like a trampoline on an ice rink, or like something that they've been working on for years at Disneyland. Toothbrush. You take the toothbrush, it dances by you like a thing possessed. Your gown. Luckily, this is large enough for you to get a hold of. You notice something in the pocket. So let's see. Open pocket. It's hard to open or close the pocket unless you're wearing the gown. By the way, this is a very clever game technique. They actually clearly want you to wear the gown in order to be part of the whole storyline. But obviously, so wear gown. Wear gown. You would not be Arthur Trevor Dent if you couldn't just wear your gown. You are now wearing your gown. Okay. Oh, actually, I haven't done something you're always meant to do in text adventures. See what you're carrying. So inventory. Let's see what I'm carrying. You have a splitting headache, no tea, and your gown, which is being worn. Okay, so no tea. Okay, well, drink tea. You're talking complete nonsense. Pull yourself together. Okay, okay. Sheesh. Okay, so look, gown. Use prepositions to indicate precisely what you want to do. Look at the object, look inside it, look under it. Okay, look inside. Gown. Look inside gown. Opening your gown reveals a thing your aunt gave you, which you don't know what it is. A buffered analgesic and pocket fluff. Okay, take all. Oh, wait, just going through. Okay, so take analgesic. You swallow the tablet. After a few seconds, the room begins to calm down and behave in an orderly manner. Your terrible headache goes. Cray. I think I'll take this opportunity to save. BN. Enter a file name, BN1, I'll just choose. Okay, so take all again, because the most important thing in all these games is to take absolutely everything that isn't nailed down. And if it is nailed down, see if you can take a hammer and then use it to pry out the nails to grab the things that are nailed down. You can just take everything, because you never know when you might need it. It's an entire pack rat mentality. Okay, so take all. Telephone. You pick up the receiver. A moment later, the dialing tone is suddenly cut off. Glancing through the window, you can't help but notice the large old oak tree, of which you are particularly fond, crashing down through the phone cable. Flathead screwdriver taken. Toothbrush. As you pick up the toothbrush, a tree outside your window collapses. There is no causal relationship between these two events. Shouldn't you be taking an interest in the events in the world around you while you're at it? Okay, look out window. No. I misspelt that. Window. As you part the curtains, you see that it's a bright morning. The sun is shining, the birds are singing, the meadows are blooming. And a large yellow bulldozer is advancing on your home. Okay. Well, maybe I should just take one quick last look around the bedroom. The bedroom is a mess. Small bedroom with faded carpet or wallpaper. Watch base. Ah, screw it, I'm leaving. Exit. Warning. Never mind. Okay, never mind. You rush down the stairs in a panic. Front porch. This is the enclosed front porch of your home. Your front garden lies to the south, and you can re-enter your home to the north. You see, this is the great thing about these games. In all other editions of Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, we didn't know that Arthur Trevor Dent's house faced south. It must be great for getting the sun in the morning. It really catches it, don't you think? Okay, well, I'm going to just take the junk mail. Take mail. Take mail. I accidentally typed in. You gather the pile of mail. And you can re-enter. Okay, let's see. Look at mail. Okay. Look, mail. There are many pieces of mail. Most are from some computer company called Infocom, which wants you to buy their games. Aha, subtle plug. Hidden underneath is an official letter from the local council dated some 2 years ago and inexplicably not delivered till now. explaining that the demolition order has been served on your home. The date of the demolition is today's date. Ah, deed. Astoundingly, a bulldozer pokes through your wall. However, you know of time for surprise because the ceiling is collapsing on you as your home is unexpectedly demolished to make way for a new bypass. You are seriously injured in the process, but on your way to the hospital, a fleet of Vogon constructor ships unexpectedly arrives and demolishes the earth to make way for a new hyperspace bypass. Better luck next life. Okay, It seems like we didn't quite get moving fast enough. It says, we are about to give you your score. Put on your peril-sensitive sunglasses now. Now, by the way, I should mention this. In the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, there are these things called peril-sensitive sunglasses, where the moment you're in... which are sunglasses, and the moment that you're in danger, they go completely opaque, which... I forget. I think the idea was if you can't see the danger, yeah, don't think too much on that one. But actually, Infocom had this thing where when you actually bought one of their games, it became in great big cardboard boxes back then, not just the whole little plastic DVD case things these days. It would actually contain several items, such as a Don't Panic badge, some pocket fluff, and in this case also a pair of peril-sensitive sunglasses that were permanently blacked out. So there we go. Okay, so what score did I get? Your score is 10 out of possible 400 in 19 turns. Would you like to start over, restore a save position, or end this session of the game? You know, I would save, but I think we should just restart everything, get through everything as fast as possible. So, restart. Okay, pitch black. Turn TU or N on light. Yeah, it's the bedroom's a mess. Get out of bed. Get gown. Wear gown. Open pocket. Take... A-N-A-L-G-E-S-I-C. Take all. Exit. And take mail. Okay, so I'm back on the porch. Let's save it now. Save BN1. I'm sorry. Save BN1. Okay, so exit the porch. Front of the house. You can enter the house home to the north. A path leads around it to the northeast and northwest, and a country lane is visible to the south. All that lies between your home and the huge yellow bulldozer bearing down on it is a few yards of mud. Mr. Prosser, from the local council, is standing on the other side of the bulldozer. He seems to be wearing a digital watch. He looks startled to see you emerge and yells at you to get out of the way. The bulldozer rumbles slowly towards your home. Okay. Now, you see, I actually have read the book, so what happens in the book and most other versions is that you lie down in front of the bulldozer and, you know, basically stop the bulldozer from actually running down your house. But I'm kind of, you know, well, temporarily at least, but I'm kind of feeling, you know, rebellious. And this is a video game. We're able to actually, you know, do anything we want to here. So why don't we just punch Mr. Prosser? Punch, P-R-O-S-S-E-R. He dodges, insisting that this is incorrect procedure. The bulldozer rumbles slowly towards your home. Okay, hijack, B-U-L-L-D-O-Z-E-R. I don't know the word hijack. Okay, enter, B-U-L-D-O-Z-E-R. You hit your head against the bulldozer as you attempt this feat. The bulldozer rumbles slowly towards your home. Okay, hit bulldozer. Okay, name. Hit bulldozer... You are obviously letting things get to you. You should learn to relax a little. The bulldozer slowly rumbles slowly towards your home. Okay, panic. P-A-N-I-C. Not surprised. The bulldozer piles into the side of your home. Damn. The home collapses in a cloud of dust and a stray flying brick hits you squarely on the back of the head. You try to think of some suitable last words, but what with the confusion of the moment and the spinning of your head, you are unable to compose anything pithy and expire in silence. Okay, it's asking me to do something. Okay. I'll type in okay with a question mark. You keep out of this. You're dead. An ambulance arrives. Okay, wait. You keep out of this. You're dead, and you should be concentrating on developing a good firm rigor mortis. You are put in the ambulance, which drives away. Okay, I'm just going to say, huh. For a dead person, you are talking too much. As the ambulance reaches the mortuary, a fleet of Vogon construction ship unexpectedly arrives and demolishes the Earth to make way for a new hyperspace bypass. We are about to return your score. Please put on your peril-sensitive sunglasses now. You score 10 out of possible 400 in 13 turns. Okay, I'm going to restore. So if you've been following, I have played twice and I've got killed twice. And all I've been trying to getting killed doing is largely just trying to, you know, not get an entire house, my house demolished. And finally, the local county council of wherever I certainly am in seem to be doing a greater job of killing me than these aliens who seem to killing everyone else. So I think I should just stop holding back and just try to get on with this. So I'm going to restore it and look. Okay, I'm on the front porch again. I've grabbed all the mail, and there it is. Once again, Mr. Processor there, and the bulldozer's towards me. So let's go back on strip for now. Lie in front of bulldozer. You lie in front of the path of the advancing bulldozer. Processor yells at you to, for Christ's sake, move. Yell back. I don't know the word back. Okay, this happens. Swear. I don't know the word swear. Seriously? I thought this was a mature thing. You know. Rage. You don't know the word rage either. Okay. What? Sing. You don't know the word sing? Every text adventure knows the word sing. Okay. Wait. Time passes. The bulldozer thunders towards you. The ground is shaking beneath you as you lie in the mud. Examine mud. You see nothing special about the ground. The noise of the giant bulldozer now so vigorous, violently loud that you can't even hear Procer yelling to warn you that you will be killed if you don't get the hell out of the way. You can see him gesticulating wildly. Just wait. It'll be fine. Time passes. With a terrible grinding of gears, the bulldozer comes to an abrupt halt just in front of you. It shakes, shudders, emits noxious substances all over your rose bed. Procer is incoherent with rage. Moments later, your friend Forge Prefect arrives. He hardly seems to notice your predicament, but keeps glances nervously at the sky. He says, "Hello, Arthur," takes a towel from his battered leather satchel, and offers it to you. Well, there's one thing that this series teaches you, is that you're a fruit if you leave behind your towel. Yes, it has a lot of these things. So take towel. As you take it, Ford says, "Air, look, thanks for lending me the towel. Be nice knowing you. Got to go now." He smiles oddly and walks down the country lane. Okay. Okay. Wait, I guess. Time passes. Okay, wait. Okay, I'm going to save this because I know that I'm probably going to make a save. Save. BN2. Okay, wait because time passes. Wait. Okay, time passes. With a noise like cross between Lord Zeppelin's farewell concert and the eruption of Krakatoa, a huge fleet of Vogon construction ships flies overhead and announces that the Earth will be demolished to make way for a new hyperspace bypass in 2 of your Earth minutes. In all the turmoil, you drop the one thing your aunt gave you, which you don't know what it is, and it rolls away. It is the least of your worries. Anyway, you've been trying to get rid of it for years. The vast yellow ships thunder across the sky, spreading waves of terror and panicking in the wake. The voice of the Vogon captain slams across the country, insisting that the planning charts and demolition orders have been available at the local planning office in Alpha Centauri for 50 years, and it's too late to start making a fuss about it now. Okay. Time passes. Fierce gales whip across the land. Thunder bangs continuously through the air in the wake of the giant ships. Okay, look. Clearly, I know where this is all going. The Earth is going to get destroyed. I'm going to die. And it's going to give me my score, which is probably only going to be about 10 or 14 out of a possible 400. So why don't I admit my mistakes, reload that save I made earlier, where Ford walked away. And, I mean, clearly he knows what's going on. He was looking at the sky. So I'll just follow him down the country road to the south. So, south. You can't do that while you're lying down. So I've restored file names, so this is just after Ford walks out. So get up. The bulldozer driver gives a quick chew of his gum and slams in the clutch. The bulldozer piles into the side of your home. Your home collapses in a cloud of dust and stray flying brick hits you squarely on the back of your head. You try to think of some suitable last words, but what with your confusion in the moment and spinning your head, you are unable to compose anything pithy and expire in silence. Okay. This has gone bad. I have no idea what to do next now. Okay, we'll try this again. Restore. I'm going to enter. Okay. For something, something weird happened there. I should have. You see, in the book, Forrest tells you to go with him, and so you follow him. And so, why in the world is this happening? Okay. Okay, store B. Okay. Okay, so, exit. I'm going to go back. Exit. Lie down in front of bulldozer. And wait. Wait. And, okay. Moments later, your friend Ford Prefect arrives. I've finally gotten back to this bar. He hardly seems to notice your predicament, but he keeps glancing nervously at the sky. He says, "Hello, Arthur." Takes towel from his battered leather satchel and offers it to you. So I guess ask Ford about Sky. A long silence tells you that Ford Prefect isn't interested in talking to you about the sky. Ford glances uncomfortably at the sky. He offers you the towel again. Ask Ford about towel. It's clearly just grabbing it immediately. A long silence tells you Ford Prefect isn't interested in talking about the towel. Ford seems oblivious to your trouble, so you ask, "Ford, what about my home?" He looks startled, then guilty. Of course, I should have asked him about my home. But anyway, he starts to say something and stops. He starts to say something else and stops. Suddenly, he seems to see that the bulldozer, for the first time, stops starting to say something and starts. He comes to a momentous decision. He says he has something earth-shattering importance to tell you and stresses the importance of a quick drink at the Horse and Groom. Pointing towards the professor, you exclaim, "But that man wants to knock down my house down." Ford goes for a quiet word to the professor. From where you're lying, you cannot hear what is happening, although they seem deeply engrossed in conversation. So let's wait again. Ford and Prosser stop talking and approach you. Ford says that Prosser has agreed to lie in front of in your place so that the two of you can go off to the pub. Reluctantly, Prosser steps forward and lies down in front of the bulldozer. You stand up. Okay. Dance. I don't know the word dance. So, ask Ford about house. A long silence tells you Ford Prefect isn't interesting. Talk to Ford. Ford Prefect looks at you expectantly as if you seemed about to talk. Okay. Just wait. Ford, urging you to follow, hurries towards the country lane. Okay, so south. Country lane. The country runs from your home to the north towards a village pub to the west. Ford Prefect is here. "Come along, Arthur," Ford says impatiently and enters the pub. Let's just examine the pub. So essentially, Ford has managed to get a civil servant to lie down and protect me. I better hurry things up, actually. Enter pub. And the pub is pleasant and cheerful and full of pleasant and cheerful people who don't know that they've got about 12 minutes to live and therefore having a spot of lunch. Some music is playing in an old jukebox. The exit is to the east. Ford Prefect is here. There is a barman serving at the bar. Behind the bar is a shelf. It is full of all sorts of items you find in shelves behind bars, potters and pubs. Ford buys lots of beer and offers half to you. Muscle relaxant, he says impatiently. Drink pint. You see, that's it. This is a British game, and you know it's a British game because when the world is coming to your end, you go to a pub and have a pint, which is relatively close to what an Irish person would do. So there's a nice bit of, but you know, very, very nice British. I mean, even in Shaun of the Dead, there was a zombie apocalypse, so their plan was to go to the pub. And it worked out surprisingly not as utterly terrible as it possibly could have otherwise been. It is a very good beer, brewed by a small local company. You particularly like its flavour, which is why you woke up feeling so wretched this morning. You were at somebody's birthday party here in the pub last night. You begin to relax and enjoy yourself, so when Ford mentions he's from a small planet in the vicinity of Beetlejuice, not from Guildford, as he usually claims, you take it in your stride and say, "Oh yes, which part?" So, ask Ford about planet. N-E-T. A long silence tells you Ford Prefect isn't interested in talking about the ground. "Drink the beer," urges Ford. "It will help cushion your system against the coming shock of matter transference beam." Okay, drink pint. "It is really very pleasant stuff, with a good, very good dry nutty flavour. Some light froth on the top and a deep colour. It is exactly room temperature." You reflect that the world cannot be all bad when there are such pleasures in it. Ford mentions that the world is going to end in about 12 minutes. Okay, I think I know the routine now. Drink pint. There is a distant crash which Ford explains is nothing to worry about. Probably just your house being knocked down. Ask Ford about house. Long silence tells you the perfect isn't interested in talking about your home. Okay, drink pint. You can hear the muffled noise of your home being demolished and the taste of beer sours your mouth. You get drunk and have a terrific time for 12 minutes and are the life of the soul of the pub, tell some really great stories, make everyone laugh a lot, and they all clap you on the back and tell you what a great chap you are, and then the earth gets unexpectedly demolished. You wake up with a hangover which lasts for all eternity. You're about to give you your score. Put on your peril-sensitive sunglasses now. Oh, dear God. Your score is 30 out of a possible 400 in 27 turns. Okay. Restore. I'm going to restore and... okay. I have so totally screwed this up. What's meant to happen is you get transported onto it. Damn it. Okay. Okay. I am going... I'm back on the porch. So exit. Lie in front of bulldozer. Wait. Okay. Wait. Wait. Okay, you stand up. Wait. And, okay. South Country Lane. Enter pub. Drink pint. Drink pint. Okay, two is enough. I need to know when to stop. It is very pleasant stuff. Ford mentions the world's... ask Ford about world end. About end. Okay, just wait. We'll see what happens. Drink the beer. Or just, it will help cushion... Okay, wait. Drink the beer. Drink pint. Okay. There is distant crash. Ford's explaining nothing to worry about. Probably just your house being knocked down. Exit pub. You see a huge bulldozer heaving itself among the cloud of brick, which is all that remains of your home. As you start up the lane, a small dog runs up to you, yapping. Ford hurries after you. So, north. In front of the house. You see, when I realized my house had been destroyed, I didn't stay in character and rush after it. Mr. Proser from the local community is standing on the other side of the bulldozer. He seems to be wearing a digital watch. Okay, save, BN3, just in case anything happens. Okay. Hit Prosser again. You muck up all his fancy facial work. This is the last moment of satisfaction you will experience for some time. You see, you were able to smack him in the face. I knew it. It just needed to be at the right time. Okay, well, video games promoting violence. Okay, so ask Ford about house. What am I gonna do? A long silence tells you he isn't going to talk about that. With a noise like a cross between Led Zeppelin's farewell concert and the eruption of Krakatoa, a huge fleet of Vogon construction ships flies overhead and announces the earth will be demolished to make way. In all the turmoil, you drop the thing your aunt gave you, which you don't know what it is, and it rolls away. It's the least of your worries. Anyway, you've been trying to get rid of it for years. Wait. Vast yellow ships thunder across the side, spreading waves of terror and panic in the wake. The voice of the Vogon captain slams across the country, insisting... Yeah. Through all the noise, Ford is shouting at you. He removes a small black device from his satchel but accidentally drops it at your feet. Pick up device. Taken. Fear scales whip across the land and thunder bangs continuously through the air as the giant slips. Ford fights to reach you, but the wind is too fierce. Further announcements with Vogue cast made clear that demolition will begin in just a few seconds. Through the blinding rain, you can see lights flickering on the small device. Okay. Wave device. Okay, use device. Okay, give device to Ford. You can't reach him in this wind. The earth is destroyed by the fleet of Vogon construction ships. Okay. Okay, I'm going to have to restore. I got to at least try to get off the planet. The planet, oh wait, I scored a possible 25 out of 400 points there. Okay, so restore. Take device. So, once again, everything's happening. There's blinding rain. Examine device. The electronic sub-ether signaling device is shaped in a small fist with an extended thumb. Various lights along its knuckles are currently blinking wildly, indicating a spaceship in the vicinity. It has two small buttons, a red one labeled Call Engineer and a green one labeled Hitchhike. It bears a small label which reads, Another fine product of Cyrus Cybernetics Corporation. Affixed to the thumb is a lifetime guarantee. Okay, press green button. Lights whirl sickeningly around your head. The ground arches away beneath your feet, and every atom of your being is scrambled in an experience you're probably going to have to get used to. You're in dark. Okay. Save. BN4. And turn on lights. You can hear nothing, smell nothing, taste nothing, see nothing, feel nothing. You are not even certain who you are. Yell. You yell as loudly as you can, but no sound emerges. Look. You are dark. You can hear nothing. You're not even certain where you are. I'll check my inventory. There's nothing you can taste, nothing you can see, nothing you can hear, nothing you can feel, nothing you can smell. You do not even know where you are. Turn on lights. I don't know. South. Okay. I have no idea. Okay. So, I think I'll wrap it up now because I've completely gone over the limit. I'd just like to let you all know that that is Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, just showing you that I died about 4 or 5 times in the process of making the game, and I just about managed to make it to the spaceship, which, and by the way, I know I'm spoiling it that you get to a spaceship, but let's face it, the planet was destroying, where else would you end up being? There's the adventure continues, it's whimsical, there's a lot of trial and error, a lot of saving, and it's a fun game. So if you want to check it out, there's the BBC 30th anniversary, and I'll leave it at that. So this has been David Collins with BitNote. I'll not ending with the song this time because I've gone a bit over, but thank you very much for listening.